Good morning, welcome everyone. Beach Business Breakfast show, live from Merriweather Beach. Just a reminder about the Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month, 7:30 till 8:30, $10, informal networking, great way to grow your network of business contacts and hopefully meet some new clients. So this morning we have Jim Garris from the Garris Group. Jim, welcome.
Thank you, we're happy to be here.
Yep, Jim is with Di, who was in our last episode. So together they're a great team in Hamilton as part of the Garris Group. Di doing the property investment advice and Jim the strategic accounting. So Jim, tell us, how long have you been doing accounting for?
Well, I've been in this industry for, 45 years, probably 46 years, something like that. So I'm an old bloke now.
Fantastic. So you did accounting at uni?
I did, yes. Yeah. I did a traineeship in Newcastle with a very large firm, and finished my Bachelor of Commerce degree at Newcastle Uni. So I'm a local boy.
Excellent.
Not born here, but I'm a local boy.
Excellent. So was that when there was like the Big Eight accounting firms or Big Six?
The Big Six, I think it was. It's now morphed into PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Big One.
Yeah. But it wasn't called that in the early days. It's had a few changes since then.
I gave power back
as Cooper Brothers & Co.
Wow.
So that's not many people actually remember that.
Not the history of accounting in Australia,
not from the beer fame though.
No. Not that Coopers, no. Yeah.
So you worked with a firm for a while and then you thought, hanging on, I wouldn't mind going out by myself.
That's right, yeah. Well, a big firm is, their focus is in an area that I wasn't interested in. They're the larger businesses, the pointy end of town, as most people refer to it. And that's not where I saw myself. I'm a sort of a people person, I believe I am anyway. And so I want to have that personal sort of touch and provide that personal service. So, having spent 11 plus years with the big firm, I couldn't see myself staying there any longer. So we decided to, myself and another fellow, we decided to buy a very tiny practice over in Stockton, and we started our business in Stockton. So not a sleepy little Stockton town, and that's we're talking 33 years ago now that occurred, and I still have a lot of those clients even from those days. It's great. It's a nice way to start, and it helped us move into the sort of doing the things that we wanted to do. But certainly the main thing being to provide that personal service.
Was that important, having that existing customer base when you got started? Like, that gave you some sort of initial cash flow instead of going, oh my God, where is the first customer coming from?
That's correct. We wanted to have some sort of a base to work with. It was a cash flow issue that, just once when you leave a firm and you've all got commitments outside of that, you don't build up a...
You're not instantly getting paid.
No, you don't build up a cash balance or a cash reserve to be able to then go in and do something. So we found a little business that it was just a nice size and gave us an opportunity to do other things. So the cash flow was a very important part of that early start.
Was it hard to keep those clients, like that was whoever they were dealing with before, I presume had moved on, or?
No, actually it wasn't hard at all.
He was an
unusual person, if I could say that, and so he made it easier for us. All we had to do was actually care about the clients themselves, and we could win them over pretty quickly. So
in the early days, was it more focused on like doing tax and that sort of thing?
Tax. Basically, that's what it was. It was just a tax business. So
written ledgers.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Everything was handwritten.
Paper spreadsheets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything was handwritten in those days. we saw the introduction of a computers, and it was using the MS-DOS by the. So that's
Commodore 64s.
That's the type of thing that we transitioned into. We hand wrote everything. Hand wrote, and we had a typist. A typist that came in and prepared financial reports in an appropriate manner. It was quite different back in those days.
And I suppose the thing is,
did you willingly embrace computers and was it VisiCalc, I guess, was the software at the time? Or like,
well, we used...
You were open to it?
We were very open to it because we could see how much time was being taken up in just preparing drafts and writing and things like that. And we thought that we wanted to be seen to be a little bit different. Mm. So when a company called Solution 6 came on board and they provided an accounting package that made things a lot easier, you know, on the very wide, large paper with the sprockets for the paper.
Wow.
You know?
Yep.
It was a real innovation, and we were providing basic reports. So they weren't flash or anything like that. But in the DOS matrix type stuff, it was really different. And but we saw that as a way of being able to demonstrate some point of difference between us and the previous owner.
So
tax was sort of like the bread and butter, and then you sort of moved into more strategic advice.
We saw that opportunity of being able to do the management style advice, analysing the business clients' affairs and being able to provide some advice, but and using a very limited spreadsheet style analysis to be able to do that. You had to use some of your expertise to analyse it and be able to create something. But that's where we saw ourselves moving into the advice area rather than just being a sausage factory churning out tax returns.
Yeah. Was that led mainly because your clients were saying, well, Jim, what do I do? Or you were going, well, our strategic vision is we're going to go and do advice for our customers, or a bit of both?
It's a bit of both, but I think the clients, I don't think they actually knew what sort of advice they could possibly get. So you don't know what you don't know.
A lot of clients were given information which basically told them what had happened.
Yeah, that's right.
And now the accounts were saying, well, based on what's happened, we can sort of chart cash flows and we can do ratios and that sort of stuff and say, your gross profit's too high, or very rarely is it too high, but your expenses are too high, all those sorts of things.
You're talking about clients, particularly those clients over in Stockton, they look at their bank balance, and that's a barometer of how well they were going. If they had money in the bank, they were doing okay. Yeah. If they didn't have money in the
bank,
cash is
king.
That's right, cash is king. And they didn't understand that there were other things that they could look at to better understand their business and better manage their business.
Yeah.
So it was quite a shift. So when you actually start talking to clients about different things that you can discuss with them, they were very open to what we were asking them, to where we're, the direction we were heading in, and I think they appreciated the change in direction from their advisors.
Yeah. So you're in Stockton, and then now you're in Hamilton. Did you sort of move from Stockton to Hamilton, or was there?
Well, we actually bought another business in Hamilton, I think it was about 6-7 years in Stockton, and then we bought another business in Hamilton to bring ourselves back over to the mainland, so I can say
the side of the harbour.
Because we wanted to build our business in that area. Stockton obviously is limited. It's a smaller population.
You wanted more businesses nearby, sort of thing.
That's what we wanted, more businesses. The Stockton business was principally a tax return. A lot of people from the Stockton Hospital when it was in its heyday back in the 30-odd years ago, and so we wanted to expand our business into doing more of the business type work and attracting business rather than just the personal returns. It doesn't always work out that way, but that was the idea behind buying an established business and using that as a basis for moving into and building that area of our business.
So you moved to Hamilton, bought another business. How did you grow that? Like, what sort of things did you do to grow? Like, you can get more work out of existing clients, but how did you get sort of new clients?
Well, we focus on the existing clients first and foremost. You know, that's a good starting point for what we could do with those guys. And then we just ask for referrals, because our business is based on referrals, and most of our work would come from referrals. So we we kind of figure that we're all, let's do a really good job with these clients, and then ask them for some people they may know who might benefit from the what we do and how we can do that. So it always has been, and it still is even today, even with the changes that are going on today, it's still a referral-based business. Yeah. And so we had to establish some confidence within our existing clients and use that as a basis of asking for referrals to their friends and other businesses.
It's a very, very high position of trust. People are putting things in front of you that they probably wouldn't show anybody else, in a sense. Like, correct. You know, their bookkeeper, maybe their business partner or life partner or whatever, and you. And that might be the mortgage broker.
And the banker,
And the banker, yeah.
That's right, it is a high level of trust, and that's why you've got to establish that trust with your clients. So, there's a lot of work associated with doing that, and it doesn't happen overnight. So, that's where we are today in our business. It's a referral business, but it's a family business. So, as you mentioned before, Di is in my business, but in one arm of my business. But I also have my son there, who's an equity partner in our business. And he's the succession. But being a family business, we wanted to demonstrate that personal touch, and so that people can rely on us by building those strong relationships and strong and continuous relationships, and by that I think we can then build that level of trust that hopefully they will refer us to other people.
So with marketing, do you do any other sort of like do sponsorships, or do you do like direct mail or direct email or that sort of thing?
We do a couple of sponsorships. We don't do many of those, but they're more of existing clients, and you've got they come and ask you for some sponsorship of their whatever, their football club or whatever it might be.
If you have half a dozen clients in the football club, you might be inclined to help mail a little bit or something.
That's right. And we have done some direct mail, but the problem we had with that when we did that some time ago was it wasn't consistent. We didn't send a consistent message out now. Yep. So what we're doing now is we're really starting to focus on the social media side of things.
Yep.
I've got a marketing person that I employ now.
Yep.
She's there on a 3 days a week. And, we're really building a social media presence, and we want to use our website as a sales funnel. And one thing we are going to be doing is in October this year, we're putting on a very public event. We're hosting that, and so we're hoping that people will come along and see the new world of business, our business has changed over the time, and see what opportunities they have to build their business through in the digital world, and so we're hosting a big event like that. And I believe that will also push our brand out there a little bit more, and get people sort of to know who we are, and if we have that sort of presence, I believe we'll help build our business and also demonstrate to our current clients as well as our future clients that we have the ability to look after all aspects of their financial work.
Yeah.
What we're about is our catchphrase is we want to assist and motivate our clients to creating a beautiful financial future. So
that's good. And your new branding with the tree and all that is quite nice.
We're going down a totally new path. The old brand is of 20 odd years now, as we saw that as perhaps time for a change, we need to, the tree is about new growth, it's not just for us but for our clients.
And that's the thing, if you can do that for your clients, they'll tell their clients, and people sort of ran, who's your accountant? Oh God, he's hopeless, or whatever. And they go, use my accountant, he's really good. He just doesn't tell me the problems. He's coming up with ideas for the future. He has fantastic people that he works with, like me as a mortgage broker, and Jeremy's probably the world's leading website designer and hoster. The other people that you and Di know through the Beach Business Breakfast, so that's got to be a plus. I did want to tell my accounting joke, which was how can you tell a extroverted accountant when they when they're talking to you, they're looking at your shoes rather than theirs. So Jim, you've been, as you said, in business quite a long time. You obviously started when you were about three. If you're about to start that long ago. What's the best bit of business advice you've been given or since you've been in business? Or the best sort of pearls of wisdom people have given you?
Oh, obviously you get lots of advice from lots of people, but... Yeah. I think one of the things that I did some years ago was actually have a mentor and someone I could talk to about what I was thinking and one of the things they told me was about understanding your business a lot better. So knowledge is power.
Yep.
And if you understand your business a lot better, you then have and that's knowing your numbers. So we'll come back to the numbers. You have the ability to actually manage your business better. And make some really strategic decisions about how you progress your business. And I used a mentor for a couple of years, and I found that invaluable to help me understand and crystallize the direction I should take. And I found that really good. And that's in some ways that's where I like to see myself as trying to be a mentor for my clients. You know, someone did it for me, and I think I can I can help somebody else in the same fashion by showing them how they can actually understand their business a lot better and manage it and create some opportunities for themselves.
Fantastic. Okay, well, thanks for that. Well, thanks for coming in, Jim.
No, thank you.
You look beautiful in the Mambo shirt and a couple of wine layers, which is great. So did we introduce Peter the Pineapple? I can't remember. There's Peter the Pineapple.
Peter's still here. He's been patiently waiting on the table for his turn.
Yeah, for his turn.
So he hasn't said much.
We've sort of said to Peter he's got to open a business first and have something to talk about. So, just a reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month, Merriweather Beach. Everyone's welcome. Go to the website beachbusinessbreakfast.com.au, which Jeremy put together with the help of Rachel, who works for Jeremy. So fantastic job there. So thanks, Jim, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks, Jeremy. Thank you.